I'm Dr. Tim Tuden, pastor and founder of Harvest Christian Ministries in Baltimore County, Maryland. Thank you for taking time to listen, whether it's over our radio broadcast, on CD, podcast, or our website. I really do believe that God has a special message just for you, a message designed to encourage you, to strengthen your faith, and to guide you in your daily living. Let's go now to the sanctuary of Harvest Christian Ministries for a worship experience already in progress.
Yeah, girl. We bless God today. It's nothing wrong with saying, I love you. Yeah, can't be too hard. You can't say, girl, you know, I love you today. Some of y'all remember the rap you had when you got Mrs. and you were smooth and yeah, and then now time is going by. Don't forget that. God is a God of love. Let's bow today where we are. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the expression of love that you showed us by sending your darling son, Jesus Christ, to dwell within us. As we come today, may we look to the hills from which cometh our help. All of our help cometh for you. Bless our time together, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Got your hearts all fluffy now for the word. Yeah. I see the guys smiling, too. Amen. That's all right. That's all right. We got to talk love in church. You don't need to be shy. Let me get to the scriptures now, because y'all really smiling. There's the word today. It comes from the first book of the Bible, Genesis. The second chapter, verses 21 through 24, it reads, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. I want to preach today from the sermonic title, Just the Two of Us. Just the two of us, we can make it. If we try, just the two of us, building castles in the sky. Just the two of us, you and I. I'm about to start a party up here today. Those words come from Bill Withers and Grover Washington Jr. 1980, it was a big hit. Their team won a Grammy for that number. It was an 80s song, and I'm an 80s kind of guy. I graduated from school in the 80s. I was on radio in the 80s. I got my first job in the 80s. Met the lady of my dream in the 80s. Got married in the 80s. Moved to Baltimore in the 80s. And 8 months from now, we would be married for 30 years. And there she is. My ministry. But I'm so glad to have all of the couples who have come out today, looked out and seen folk I married, and others I'm about to marry, and others I've known, and I thank God for your being here today. But there's a word that comes out of this particular text that I want to share with you. And, all right, chairs got happy. But this word helps us today to look at a biblical marriage. The marriage I'm talking about is what the Bible calls a marriage between a man and a woman. Even as we begin to share from this text, really the first ceremony was conducted by God. There was no wedding gown, no tux, no flowers, no maid of honor, no best man, no limo. It was just God there conducting that first ceremony. And when I talk about just the two of us, I'm talking about man and woman, but that really is one. And then there's God. So when I say just the two of us, if you're married, you're already one. Folk may say, well, Reverend, we've been doing this for a while. You've got to catch up. You only got almost 30 years. There's some persons who have more years, and they will tell you they've been able to get along. And that unless Christ is at the center of your marriage can run into a lot of trouble. Do I have a witness today? I'm so glad that the Lord has come to reside in our relationship. But I don't want to lose anyone who says, Reverend, I'm not married. I'm dating, but I'm not married. And this message is not for me. Don't change the dial. Don't stop. It may not be your chance now, but that day could be coming. And maybe you find yourself in a situation to say, there's nothing I can glean from this. But I can say to you today, you can be one in Christ. As we look at this text, we do find the word written. God began to look out as he made his first creation in the person of Adam. And Adam was a lonely fellow. And God realized that, Adam, you need someone. Ever been lonely? Anybody ever been lonely? Every now and then? God knows what is best for us. He sends the right mate our way. He has a way of connecting us, and I thank him for it. But just the two of us really talks about why it is important for us to have Christ in our relationship, Christ in our decision making, Christ in our child rearing. It's so key. And there's no way of getting around it. I know you may love the talk show circuit, but there's nothing like putting Jesus Christ at the center of your relationship. Amen. The kids say amen. That's what I'm talking about. Because that's come out of a Christian relationship. But there's some things that I want to lift up today that's shared in this text. First of all, you've got to have some godly involvement. You can't have a relationship and decide that, God, you won't be a part of this. Marriage is actually God's idea. Marriage was designed by God. God is the one who said, let's bring these two together. The word says, so the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. Can you call him Dr. God? He basically did a surgery on mankind. I don't know a guy in here, you may not say it next to your wife, who don't mind getting a nap every now and then. Oh, y'all don't take naps? But God had to put Adam in a deep, deep, deep sleep. And as a result of that, he took one of man's ribs and closed up the place. I'm glad today that God takes some things from me that I don't need. There's some things in our lives that we'd rather hold on to, but God's saying, you know what? I got to put you to sleep. There's some people, some places, some things that are not good for you or your relationship. And he gets involved in who we are. How many persons want to invite God into who you are and invite him into your relationship? He does not force his way in, but there's no way to make it unless he is a part of your decision making, a part of what you do on a day-to-day basis. And so there again, it's just Adam. He's all by himself. And God makes woman. Flesh appears to him. They're having a good time. That's all right. That's all right. I thought that was my grandson for a moment. But getting him involved in your relationship is so, so important. But God makes an investment in Adam. The Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of man and brought her to man. I'll imagine that Adam got pretty excited. Just Adam and the animals. And all of a sudden he gets up from a deep sleep and God has made a woman. Up until then, Adam didn't say a word. But Adam woke up then. And God gives us what we need. God makes the investment by giving us someone to help in our journey. I dare say I'm the better because of who God sent me. How many folk willing to admit that? That you were all right. But when God sent you, that mate, my, you became someone really indeed. I always say that couples are arranged in such a way that God knows how to match them up, don't he? Amen. Some folk talk a lot. Some folk don't. God knows who has skills, who don't have skills. He has a way of putting folk together. But I'm glad that he makes the investment in what he sees in a lonely, lonely Adam. He gives him a woman. And God wants to make an investment in your relationship if you will allow him to do it. He wants to invest in who you are. Maybe you're not married, but God still wants to invest in you. He gives you exactly what you need. The Bible says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I just want you to know that he cares about what you care about. He's concerned about what you're concerned about. And just at the beginning of creation, he puts everything in order to make sure that life goes on. He makes the investment. What are you doing with God's investment? Are you getting along? Are you able to say that this is the person that I love? We got married almost 30 years ago, and I was just excited, and I saluted the bride. They still do that, don't they? Salute the bride. And I got done, and Deacon Martin said, man, you got somebody you can grow old with. I was like, what? I was in my 20s. But that was an investment that over time, my hair got gray. Over time, I have someone I can have a journey with for the rest of my life. God gets involved in your marriage. Let him be the one who makes the investment in who you are. And I can guarantee you that return will be great. But there's that godly interest. Because when Adam sees her, he begins to speak. He has something to say. And there again, he's been in a deep sleep, but he realizes that God has given him something that's important. This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You may say, Reverend, I don't kind of get that. That's kind of like, you mean a rib and all that? But God has a way of taking something from you and allowing you to develop a relationship with the person that you love, the person you text for a year or two, the person that you may have met online, the person you may have called on the phone, that all of a sudden now there is a godly interest. At first, she was just cute. At first, he had a nice ride. At first, y'all just winked a bit and FaceTimed. But after a while, there became a moment when you said, you know what? This is somebody I really care for. I don't know about you, but I didn't fall in love out the gate. Can I just testify? Well, I knew I was in love, but I wouldn't let it out. And I was trying to be real cool, like, oh, I care for you a lot. I think you're a very nice person. In fact, I got to pay for this later. When we first met, I said, you know what? Nothing serious. She said, me either. I said, good. Yeah, I don't want to be serious, you know. I was like, yeah, man, that's all right. But, yeah, that's what I thought. See, y'all got to laugh. Man. Some couples ain't laughed in a long time. But that's my story. And before I knew it, we were at the altar. Because caring went from that to love. And once you're able to say that to that person, I love you. And love is such a powerful word because God so loved the world that he did what? He gave us his only begotten son. So that was an interest. And you ought to keep that interest going. You ought to keep telling her, this is a rap session, how good she looked. You ought to keep telling him, you know what? You still handsome now, daddy. Keep telling each other how much you love them. Don't assume they know. I always say, man, if my wife liked that suit, I'm going to wear it. And let the person know, not that, oh, you know I care about you, but let them know. I genuinely have an interest in you. I remember the day I met you. And Adam had a story to tell. But it wasn't just the fact that we allow God to be involved in our relationship. and the fact that he makes a great investment. But there has to be an interest that's rooted in our faith. But finally, there also has to be a godly intention. He says, for this reason, that is, that I've made woman, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. Not me, myself, and I. Not it's mine. You can't be selfish in a marriage relationship. I mean, there again, it's just the two of us. It's you and the one that God is connecting you with, and there's God. That's so important. And now, don't read this wrong. Yeah, leave mama and daddy. It's time. United with your wife. But it didn't say you couldn't go to the family reunions. It couldn't say the Bible says I got to leave. No, it means that the family is so important, but you must make sure that in your relationship that God guides your home. I always say I stay out of folks' homes. I got my own home. But knowing that God's intention is that we might be one. Not it's my thing. Some years ago, I counseled a couple, and none of them are here. I don't want them to say, oh, you didn't tell us that, Reverend. But I knew the person was a little upset. I said, what's wrong? He was all concerned about the one bank account they had. That would mess the guy up when you had your own bank account. And all of a sudden, you got to put, anybody ever been there? You got to put your name on the account. And he was concerned that he didn't have any money to spend. I said, man, you ought to get your own account and allow your wife to get an account. And that way, you need to buy a hot dog, go ahead and get one. And he got another account. Now, that's not mad money. I have no other accounts hidden. But it's so important to know that you can share and there's this sense of uniting. God's intention is that you'll become one. It's not just mine, mine, mine. But decisions I make, I won't ask a counselor and ask 20 other people. When I want to make a good decision, I'll say, honey, what do you make of that? Because this is the person that will be honest with me. Other folk won't be honest. They'll say, oh, that's good. No, no. What does my spouse say? How does she read it? What do you think? And that's so key as it relates to becoming one in Christ. But as I look at the Bible, it talks about Christ being the bridegroom. That the church is a body of believers. So even if we didn't have a building here, we still would be the church, even on the parking lot. But the Bible talks about Christ being the bridegroom, coming back for the church who is his bride. He loves us just that much. He cares for us just that much. So allow nothing to separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. I'm aware that in some relationships, they've not worked out. In some relationships, things have not gone well. But don't let your current situation keep you away from Christ. Nothing should separate you from that love that flows from a loving Savior. He's able to mend. He's able to heal. And you're able to get past it. But never allow anything to hinder what you believe, to hinder who you believe in. There's not a friend like Jesus. And once you allow him to take ownership of your life, your relationship will be better. Once you become equally yoked, which is so important out the gate, that we believe the same thing, we believe the same God, we worship the same Savior, there's this connection that as I love God. In fact, the Bible says a man ought to love his wife as Christ loved the church. And Christ loves some church. And so you ought to love your spouse as you love your own body. You're working out somebody. You're in the gym every day. But do you love your wife as much as you love your own self? Christ gave his body. He went to a cross. He died just for us, that we might become one in him. As he prays, he says, Father, may they be one as we are one. And so as you leave this place today, it's not just us, but it's Christ. And when persons see you, I hear, now I don't know, I hear when you've been married a long time, you start to look alike. You ever heard that? I favor my wife. But your relationship ought to be so deep and so important that folk ought to see your wife and says, you remind me of your husband. Ought to see your husband and say, you know what? Where's your wife? And that's so important today. Just the two of us. Me and the one that God has given me. And having the Lord as a part of your relationship. So whenever you hear that song again, it's not about Bill Withers. Bill had some of it right. But the main part is that couples might be blessed. That is the word of God today. It's already blessed. You may stand to your feet today as we seek to help you to enrich your relationship with Christ and with the one that Christ has called you to dwell with. Is that good news today? We bless God today. I love him. Love him today. Because he cared for me in such a special way. How many folk love the Lord today? I mean, show enough love. There's no love like his love. He's able to keep you like no one else can. Let's say it together. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today. Because you care for me in such a special way.
In such a special way.
That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name. That's why my heart.
That's why my heart is filled with praise.
My heart, my mind.
My heart, my mind. My soul belongs to you.
You paid the price.
Way back on Calvary. That's why I praise you. I lift you up and I magnify your name.
That's why.
That's why my heart is
filled with praise. As you bow today in this place, Heavenly Father, we thank you that we have stopped by the first wedding ceremony where God performed and brought two persons together, man and woman, and blessed them. Although in later years there were problems, they still remained one. There was the Garden of Eden problem. They remained one. There was Cain and Abel, but they remained one flesh because you had joined them together. God, I pray today that we might be joined in your love today. God, if there's one person in this place today who knows not you, may they have a relationship first with you. And once they know you, they become prime candidates to love someone else with the love of Christ. So I pray even now that you might touch that heart. That person who may have come and said, I don't know what love is all about. I don't know the kind of love that the world talks about, but tell me about this agape love. Tell me about this love that God looks at us and loves us unconditionally. God, I pray even now, if there's a person in this house who've not accepted you as their personal Savior, that you might touch their hearts today. They might confess, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and love me. For you so love us that you died for us. God, I thank you today. And I glorify you. While those heads remain bowed today, Perhaps you've come and you've never opened your heart to Jesus. Today is your day. You can do it right where you stand. All you have to do is say, Lord, come in and dwell with me. And I have found that he will do just that. Give yourself 30 seconds just for an inventory as you think about your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Am I saved? Do I know him? Is he in my heart today? Does he reside in who I am? Today, you can accept him right now. While those heads are bowed, if you're not sure, raise your hand. I want to pray with you. If you're not sure about your relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you. All heads remain bowed today. And there's one person. Let you know that the love of Jesus is like no other love. He'll love you in every situation. Praise God. Let's give God a praise today. Because there are so many couples here today, I can't do individual blessings, but I want to pray over you right where you are today. Join the hand of that person next to you that you're either about to say, I do too, or you already said, I will. Now, only if that person is here. See, I guess somebody's starting trouble already. If that person is here, amen. If not, that's all right. Man, y'all some rough folk. Oh. Don't we favor? Let's bow today. And those who are near them, pray for them. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. I thank you for making us one today. I thank you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. God, you said that you would bless relationships. They're one flesh today. Whatever may be going on in their homes and their challenges, let them know it's not us and them. It's one flesh. Do it now, Lord. Even for the person who's come today and maybe that spouse is not with them, I pray for them. Maybe one has come today and their loved one has gone to glory. God, we thank you for the memories of that relationship and what it's meant to them. God, I pray even now that you might strengthen, that you might keep us, that you might let us know we're in it to win it. I bless you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Now, hug that person near you who's your wife, a wife to be. My God. All right? Now, not too long. Let's give God a praise today. We celebrate marriage. Amen. You may have come today. You desire to be a part of this fellowship called Harvest. The doors are always open for you. My, somebody, what topic? Got that man. You see me way up top. Praise God. You got to go get some person. That's right. All right. Maybe you have come today and you desire to be a part of this fellowship. The doors are always open for you, either here or during our time of sharing. Amen. Oh, welcome. She's been coming so much, she's already a part of Harvest. We have a new member. Oh, two new members. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. We thank you for coming, and we're going to get more information from you. Let's celebrate what God is doing. He's growing the ministry, yeah. And we thank God for their gifts as they come today, and we celebrate who they are.
I pray you were helped in some way by this message. Be sure to follow Harvest Christian Ministries on radio, CD, podcast, or over our new website. It's cometoharvest.org. That's come to harvest, C-O-M-E, the number 2, and harvest.org. Take time to experience the website and all that we have to offer as a ministry. In the meantime, pray that God will continue to allow us to reach a community for Christ for the cause of the kingdom. I'm Dr. Tim Tuden. Have a great day in the Lord.